Why didn't they repent? Look at the devastation that's on the planet at this point in the Great Tribulation period. The water is poison. The trees are all burned up. There's destruction and death. Half of the world is gone. And I say, Lord, why will they not turn to you? Why will they worship demons?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. If you're tuning in for the first time, we're presently airing Pastor Bill's recent study of the New Testament book of Revelation. The message today is from chapter 9, entitled, The Rest of Mankind. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. You know, the book of Revelation, again, I say this, I think, probably every service that I've been teaching on this book, that the Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord, not the revelation of John. Remember the word revelation, apocalypse, means the unveiling, if you will, or the uncovering. So in this great study of the book of Revelation, we see and find Jesus our Lord like we see him no other place in Scripture. And he is seated at the right hand of God. He is the Lamb of God. He's the only one worthy to open all the scrolls. Amen? And so he's our Savior. And you know, heaven really is our home, and we really are citizens of heaven. Amen? And there's only one prophetic event left. Nothing needs to be fulfilled, and that's called the catching away or the rapture of the church. And that could happen on March 1st. Amen? Oh, to be home forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? So as we study out this incredible book, remember the church has already been raptured. We are already in heaven. The great tribulation period is the wrath of God, and every believer in Christ has been saved, rescued, delivered from the wrath of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So we have already inherited the church of Philadelphia, the incredible promise in 3:10 that we will be saved from, out of the hour of trial, the hour of testing that's going to come upon all the earth, meaning the people on earth that are not saved, not the Christians. Now, with all of that being said, this neglected book that should be taught in every church, I feel, because Jesus, the Lord wants you to know what's coming. I mean, the thing with Iran didn't catch the Lord off guard, okay? Amen? Now, it caught maybe us off guard, but it definitely caught Khomeini off guard. Now, but what I'm trying to say this morning is this. God wants us to know things future. He wants us to know what's coming so we can warn the lost upon this planet. And last Sunday, we saw our Lord there in heaven, and he opened the seventh seal, and followed by about 30 minutes of divine silence as heaven transitioned, if you will, from God's incredible grace into God's horrible judgments that are coming on this planet. And then those seven specific angels were given seven trumpets, and which led up now to the seven trumpet judgments, okay? And we covered, what, four of those, didn't we? Last time we were together. Remember when we covered them, the first four trumpet judgments and so forth? I mean, can you imagine 33% of all the trees and they're burned up, all the green grass on earth, it's all gone. And man, the sea became literal blood. The living creatures died in it. One third of the ships are gone. One third of the fresh water, rivers, springs, and all of it, it's poison. And then the sun. 33% of the sun, 33% of the moon, 33% of the stars lost their light. Man, now that right there would be enough for me. That just pushes me over the edge right now. Now this morning, I want you to remember that in chapter 8 to 9, there's really not a chapter break. It's one continuous chronological order, if you will, okay? So we're going to look at two judgments, trumpet judgments this morning. The fifth and the sixth. And then when we get to chapter 10, there's a divine interlude before we get to the seventh trumpet judgment. Now, with all that being said, I want you to begin this morning in chapter 8 and look at verse 13. And remember now, all the events that happened so far are all literal events, not symbolism, they're literal. But in 8:13, as we closed out last time, let's look at it together. And John says, "And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe.'" Now those are the three trumpet judgments that are remaining. So woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, that phrase is mentioned 12 times in the book of Revelation, and it always is concerned with those who are unbelievers, those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, or are those who worship the beast and take the mark and so forth. So it said, the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels are about to sound. So the three woe judgments that are now left, if you will, they're going to begin the most darkest, painful times in the history of mankind. Thank God we will not be there, but we should warn everybody about what's coming. Now, when we look at mankind, as we're going to learn, they refuse to repent. It is amazing how dark the heart is of an unbeliever. Our hearts were dark. Remember what it says? We were once darkness in Ephesians. Not that we were dark. Oh, no, we were once darkness. Oh, Lord, thank God we've been saved. Amen. Thank God he's given us a new heart, you know, and we want to do what the Lord wants us to do in this life. We love him. Now, but with all that being said, beginning here, let's look at the rest of the mankind this morning, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. Now, to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So the fifth trumpet judgment. What is this? Boy, it's a very unusual star. It's a star that has fallen from heaven now to earth. And so if you looked at the tense of the verb in the Greek, had fallen, it indicates something that had happened long ago and continues to the present. Does that make sense? So that's the first thing I want you to see. The second thing I want you to see is this star was once in heaven, but then fell to the earth. And then the third thing I want you to see is the personal pronoun that is used in verse 1. And it says, to him, the fallen star, this person, to him, that personal pronoun, that tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that the star that's fallen from heaven to earth is indeed an individual, a person, if you will. Now, I know that some scholars, and I respect them deeply, Revelation is not an easy book to teach, but they've identified the star as a holy angel, or the Antichrist, and so forth, or even sometimes a human. Well, I don't know how they got that one, but the fact of the matter is, I don't agree with that. I believe personally that the star that fell is Satan himself. Amen? And we know the story of his fall. Let me read it to you from Isaiah 14:12. It says, "Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." So son of the morning, or the morning star, the day star, if you will. That was his name in heaven before he fell, okay? And it says, "Oh, how you are cut down or cast down to the ground." And it says, "You who weakened the nations." Now listen to what Lucifer said in his heart, the five I wills of the devil, if you will. "For you've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yet God says, "Oh, no, you won't. You shall be brought down to Sheol, to hell," okay, "to the lowest depths of the pit." So we all know that Satan was banished, amen? That's just a given. And we know that the place of his activity is here on planet Earth, amen? The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, we know that we're of God, and the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, meaning those that are not born again. They don't know that, but that's just the truth. So here, this enemy of God, he's the enemy of you, me, the church of Jesus, of all truth. He loves darkness because he lives in darkness. He is the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. Amen? So we know who he is. Now, and thank God Jesus defeated him on the cross. Amen. Disabled him. Now, the Bible tells us later, or really John tells us later in Revelation 12, 7, that there's going to be a war that breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. We know the dragon, who that is. But they did not, the dragon and his angels, they fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old. Remember the serpent in the garden? Okay, the serpent of old, called the devil or the accuser, the brethren, the slanderer, and Satan, that word means he's our adversary, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Remember, he took about a third of heaven with him. Now, it says in 9:1, the next part there, look at it, the fourth point I want to make, is that to him was given the what? The key. Now, the key represents authority, okay? But notice that it was given to him. So the person who did that was God Almighty. He didn't earn it or anything like that. It was given to him, the key. But look what it was to the bottomless pit. Literally, if you have a little column there, center column reference, or down at the bottom of the Bible that you have, I don't know if apps have that or not, but the bottomless pit literally would read, the shaft of the abyss or the abusos, okay? And so here, this key that was given tells us something, and it should really help us this morning too. Is God in control? He's in control today too, isn't he? See, now this is future. This hasn't even happened yet. He's in control then, and God is in control right now. Amen. We're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, don't let your heart, don't let it be troubled. Don't worry about it. Now, so God is in control, and so this key is given to the darkest, most wicked, loveless, merciless person, entity in all of the universe, the devil. You know, that bottomless pit. Now, you that are a little older, I don't know if you remember back in the old days of TV, like when TBN was, you know, back in the 80s and so forth. But I'll never forget, it was Paul Crouch, and I'm not condemning him. I'm sure he's in heaven. I don't know anything about it. But I just know, I remember Becky and I were watching TV, and it was late 1989, and I forget it. And he played an audio tape of voices that were crying out, human voices that were crying out from the abyss. Y'all remember, anybody remember that? Yeah, and so this recording, what happened was the Soviet nations then, they had drilled some kind of cavern tunnel way down deep, and when they all of a sudden they started hearing these human voices crying out in hell, well, never mind. It that wasn't true. Do you understand? I don't know why I told you that. Verse 11 says that there's the king. The bottomless pit has a king. We'll get to that in a moment. So the bottomless pit, someplace on this planet, there is someplace a long shaft. I don't understand all of it. That shaft is locked, okay? Spiritually, I don't understand any of that. However, that shaft leads to the abuso, to the bottomless pit, to the place of horrible, horrible suffering, okay? It's only mentioned twice outside of the book of Revelation. One, it's mentioned in Romans 10:7, I believe, as the abode, the abyss, the abode of the dead, okay? And but you say, well, Bill, what is the bottomless pit? Well, let me give you a few scriptures. 2 Peter 2:4 says, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. That's an unfortunate translation because it's not Gehenna, which is eternal hell. This word here is actually found only there in the Bible, the New Testament, and it's called Tartarus, okay? So these angels that sinned were cast down to Tartarus, and 1 Peter 3:20 tells us that they were fallen angels who were disobedient in the days of Noah, and we also know how they sinned and how they were disobedient. Jude verse 7 says, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, going after strange flesh. In other words, human flesh. Now, so hell, no one is in hell. Amen? Okay, that's at the end of the time. But the word here is Tartarus, which is synonymous. I can't say that word. Say it. Thank you. You're so good. With the bottomless pit, okay? Now, Hades, remember, we've studied this out. I don't want to spend too much time here. Hades had three compartments, remember? There was a gulf in the middle. Here's the place of the wicked dead. Here is Abraham, or the bosom of Abraham, paradise. Remember, Jesus went into paradise. Okay, and underneath that is a place called Tartarus. It's a horrible, 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 horrible place. And there you say, well, Bill, who is there? Well, here's the wicked dead. Here's the righteous. Of course, Jesus emptied paradise, right? Okay, so but underneath there, right now in Hades, the wicked dead are still there. When a person outside of Christ perishes, that's where they go. They're awaiting the future judgment, Revelation chapter 20, okay? Now, but underneath there is a place that's unbelievable. It's called Tartarus. And who is there? Jude 6 tells us. It says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, meaning heaven, God has reserved, that word means under careful guard, where? Tartarus, okay? In everlasting chains of darkness. Now, for the judgment of the great day, which is the day of the Lord, the bottomless pit, the abyssos, is a real, literal place. And right this very minute, the angels that sinned, that were so wicked, they had to be incarcerated. They could not be let out on earth. They are there right this minute being held in Tartarus, reserved for judgment. How horrible is that place? Remember in Luke's gospel, you can read it later, but it starts in chapter 8, verse 31. There was a man of Gadara, and he lived among the tombs. Remember, he lived in the cemetery. He was nude, and they would try to chain him, and he would break these chains. And he ran up to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, O Son of God, why have you come? Are you here to torment me before my time? You see, that was a demon speaking, not the man. Remember? Yes. And Jesus said, what is your name? He says, my name is Legion, for we are many. The Legion is 6,000, okay? So anyway, to make a long story short, let me just read the last part. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, a loud voice, the demon did. What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? And listen to what he did now. I beg you, he said, the demon, I beg you, do not torment me. See, they know their future. Do you understand? They know what awaits them. Every demon does. He said, do not torment me. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for he had often seized him and kept him under guard and bound him with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds, and he was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. Here it comes. And they, all those demons that were in that one man, and they begged Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the abyss, the bottomless pit. They begged him, don't send us there. Don't ever put us there. And what did they bid to do? Go into the swine, remember? Jesus said, okay, you're unclean spirit. You want to go into an unclean pig? Go ahead. And, you know, and they went into, they ran over the cliff. Makes you want to have some deviled ham, doesn't it? Now, so that's what the abyss is. Now, let's look at verse 2. And look what he did now. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit. And it was like, it wasn't the smoke of a great furnace, but it was like it. And so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And then out of the smoke, let me read that again. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. out of the bottomless pit. Man, they were liberated for the first time in what? Thousands of years. And this is global, loved one. It's not local, okay? They came upon the entire earth, and to them was given power. What kind of power? The power of scorpions. The scorpions of the earth have power. And they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So does God protect his own? Or the 144,000, did they have the seal of God? Absolutely. So out of this hellish smoke from the bottomless pit, locusts came upon the earth. Now, have you ever studied out just a natural swarm of locusts? Do you know that they can number, a swarm can number 70 billion? Think about that, 70 billion. Matter of fact, let me tell you what Joel said about it in Joel 1:4. He says what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Locusts have been called this, the incarnation of hunger. Think about that. Man, you know, on a side note, this won't help you, but who was the one who loved to eat locust and honey? John the Baptist. Praise the Lord, man. Okay, never mind. Now, I did a study in 2014. Listen carefully. 2014, over one half of the island of Madagascar, home to 13 million people, that was devoured by a plague of locusts. And here's what they said. The experts said there are currently, at that time, 100 swarms across Madagascar made up of about 500 billion ravenous locusts. And they eat through 100,000 tons of vegetation every single day. It has been said, and I've read this, it has been said when you run into anything like that, those billions of locusts or whatever, that when they start eating, that they can be heard miles away, the munching and the crunching. So listen, let me ask you a question. Locusts, they eat green things. They, you know, trees and grass and so forth. But in our text, they are forbidden to do so. And not only that, the appetite for the locust is what? It's people. So these locusts are intelligent because they are able to go into all of the earth and discern who has the seal of God on their forehead, and they are forbidden to touch them. So what came out of the bottomless pit? We just read it. Well, to me, and I believe I'm absolutely correct, is that the swarm of locusts are an uncountable number of demons. And these demons who have been incarcerated all these thousands of years, listen, they are starving. They're starving for anyone that doesn't have the seal of God on their forehead. And then it says in verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them. Did you know that every time you find the word torment means to inflict pain, it's always associated with the demonic or demons. And so they were to torment them, look at the length of time, for 5 months. Their torment was like, he was trying to describe it. It was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Now, I don't know if you grew up in the country like I did, with my grandparents and later on when my sister, she raised me. You know, we didn't have air conditioning back then in our homes or whatnot. And but we had like, in the winter, we had a gas stove. Remember the gas stoves? And the gas stove that we had in my sister's home, it heated the entire house. But her house is only 750 feet, so hello. But I'll never forget, sometimes I had to sleep in the living room. And the gas was going. And you know, if you know anything about gas, it lights up the room a little bit. And I'll never forget. I don't know why I was thinking about this when I saw the shadow of that scorpion going across the wall because the gas stove, you know, put that tail. I went and got in bed with my sister. Now look here. These unholy liberated demons, they could not kill, but they were allowed to do what they love to do, and that is to torment. But why 5 months? Well, 5 months is the typical lifespan of the locust, okay? Now, like the torment of the scorpion here, this is supernatural, demonic torture. How horrible will it be during the Great Tribulation to the people on earth who do not know the Lord?
Well, once again, we're short on time, but you can hear the remainder of this message in tomorrow's broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. Thank you so much for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.